Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. I'm hoping to be joined by Troy Brown Jr., newest draft pick of the Washington Wizards, in just about 20 minutes or so here in the 8 o'clock hour. Sadly, the real world intrudes upon this goofy radio show. We have to send out condolences to the NBC Sports Washington family with the sudden passing of photographer Mike DeVenier. Saw lots of kind words from colleagues, from members of the Washington Capitals, from Ted Leonsis, so many more people on Twitter and other social media. He's gone way too soon. Our thoughts and prayers are with Mike's family. If you saw Twitter yesterday, you saw all the outpouring of support and emotion for Mike. It was a tragic loss, sudden. So our thoughts are with him and his family.
Huge Caps fan by all accounts.
Yep.
It's just trivial, but at least he got to see the Caps win the cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think from what we understand, it was kind of a sudden, shocking thing.
Yeah.
So definitely our prayers and condolences go out to the family and to his coworkers and friends there at NBC Sports Washington, because they were clearly rocked by that.
Yes.
Yesterday, and I'm sure for many, many days and years to come. So, that's a tough one to pivot from, but they're showing images of Mikey right now. And, you know, that's when you've been a longtime employee of a place like NBC Sports Washington and you're out there and
out
and about all the time, beloved, that's a tough one. So, yeah, I don't know how you move on from that, but we just want to at least acknowledge that.
Make reference to it and,
you know, for
pay respects.
Yeah, difficult thing.
All right, we will pivot and jump into the Junkie Sports page. And I'll lead off with the Nationals. We talked about them in the 7 o'clock hour. The Nationals get shut out once again yesterday, this time by the Rays, 11-0. They are 5-11 in their last 16 games. They've been shut out five times in those 16 games. We talked about it earlier. The lineup, a lot of guys are struggling at the plate, including Bryce Harper is hitting .217. Got a couple guys out in terms of pitchers, starting pitchers Strasburg and Jeremy Hellickson, who, of course, kind of a surprise pickup this year to be the fifth starter.
He's been pretty good,
yes.
Although he's been hurt and just got rocked in his rehab outing.
And Gio got three outs yesterday as a starter. Three.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a fourth out.
Yep, that hurts.
His ERA is ballooned. Not still very solid at 3.68, but he started the month at 2.1. So Nats fall to 41-36, just five games above .500.
Let's never forget that Phil Jackson is making another $50,000 today for doing absolutely nothing, and that Bryce Harper is batting .175 with one tater tot since he wore the Golden Knights jersey to the Stanley Cup final game at Capital.
You're almost
Arena.
Getting some perverse pleasure there because you're such a Caps fan. You want him. I can see it in the way you're saying it.
There's no perverse pleasure. I'm just pointing out. All I'm pointing out are facts.
Yeah, but my guess is if you put in 3 weeks, or maybe a month before he wore the jersey, he was hitting pretty poorly, pretty close to that too.
Okay, he's been batting .175 since he made that decision to go to the Caps game.
Before included those 10 home runs in a month, EB. He actually was.
I'm just
kicking ass.
I'm just pointing out.
But I'm
a
not
mile
sure the
post.
Average was. I think the average has been trending down since about late April. Since about late April, that's about when he peaked. But no, I hear you, Kicks.
And from watching AWOD bring in the whatever story that is shirtless, he's clearly peaked in the past, and now he's just gotten worse.
Right.
Downward spiral.
Yes. I'm not sure when his peak was. We all know EB's peak date. He has it memorized.
11-5-93.
Yes. I don't know when AWOD's was.
Nationals
physical peak.
Do have Max Scherzer on the mound tonight. So
this afternoon. I think it's a 12:05 start.
It's an afternoon game.
Yes.
Nice. Washington Capitals, some news there for the Capitals. First of all, Tom Wilson has received his RFA qualifying offer, restricted free agents offer, according to his agent. There is confidence that they will reach a long-term deal over the summer.
He's clearly a priority for the team, clearly going to get a nice big raise, and deservedly so.
On the flip side, DSP, Devontae Smith-Pelly, apparently they're going to let him become a free agent. Doesn't mean they don't sign him.
Correct.
But he will be able to go out and get other offers. I think the date is July 1st.
Right. Correct. They could have tendered him some sort of offer. But as it was pointed out in the post, they did the same thing with Brett Conley. And the idea is they didn't tender him an offer, but they were able to hammer out a two-year deal. They don't want to get locked into some arbitration deal where all of a sudden now they're forced to pay something they're a little uncomfortable with. So it's a tough spot because Smith-Pelly could probably, most certainly get a little bit more cash out on the open market because, you know, the Caps can only pay so much for their fourth-line guys, even if you're a huge contributor in the playoffs.
I think with this playoff performance, he's vaulted himself from a min salary guy to, look, you're not going to break the bank for DSP, but I think he's worthy of a salary, I don't know, in the $1.5 million a year range.
Well, if he made $760 last year, he should make over a mil this year.
You'd think.
What he proved, I would think. Couple-year guaranteed deal.
Sure.
I certainly think he's proven that.
Cakes McClellan would sign him up to a 2 or 3 year deal.
Right.
Now, I'm very liberal with the owner's money. Just remember that.
Right.
I don't really worry that much about
budgets. Back, but if you had to make choices and you had to prioritize Beegs and DSP.
Ooh. I only get to sign one of them?
One's going to be a casualty.
I think you need Beegs more.
I think I would keep
Beegs. You need Beegs more for the face-off prowess.
Plus,
we have Neil Greenberg from Crashing the Net, Fancy Stats Blog.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they actually have a replacement for Beegs more in place.
Okay.
Now, could you get a replacement for DSP?
See, here's
probably
the difference. Neil Greenberg.
I'm not sure you can replace Clutch.
Neil views it through a pragmatic, stats-based lens.
Logic.
He uses logic. You know what I use?
Emotion.
The ticker.
Right.
I use the ticker, and I also use, I'm pointing down here, Tingle.
Right.
Tingle plus the ticker.
You know,
that's
the
how I make decisions.
The Tingle did for Drab's Russia play yesterday.
Yeah, but you know what? The Tingle got him. Loser. He's up 800 in the World Cup so far.
I got butt lucky. I was so lucky.
Gave some back yesterday, but only
a
little bit.
Just a very minor play.
Because you know what? You're locking down your chips. You're not.
I'm doing what Iran has done. I'm parking the bus on my profits.
Right.
I'm bringing all my guys back and defending my goal.
Right.
That's what I'm doing.
If I was you, I might even just back out of World Cup betting altogether.
There's still lots of games left, DB. Might have to still make some minor
plays. What time
plays
is the Argentina
there?
Game?
2 p.m., I believe.
That's a tour?
2 p.m.
Yeah, games today. So Group C takes center stage first.
Got to be
today.
Awake.
France looks to make sure of the top spot when they take on Denmark.
It's my nap time.
The Danes only need a point to definitely qualify.
Lars Eller is butt-sized if Denmark goes through.
And that would secure a top spot for France. You also have Australia with slim hopes taking on Peru, who's out of it. So those are your 10 o'clock games. And then later today, the big game is between Nigeria and Argentina. And you also have Croatia, Iceland.
If Nigeria wins, that eliminates Argentina, correct?
Yes.
Cakes or Drabby, what are the pundits, like what are all the soccer geeks saying? Are they saying that Argentina should be able to take care of business today?
I've seen it all over the place. Nobody knows what to think whenever they take a look at this
because
team.
They look so poo-poo.
I think their manager said they're going to win 3-0 today.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
That means nothing.
Who cares what his manager said?
Well,
like,
I mean, if this means
I want
anything,
to hear what the nerds
ESPN,
are saying.
On ESPN,
yeah, give me that.
7 pick Argentina, 2 go for the draw, while just 1 picks Nigeria.
What's the Nigeria payout if I take that side, Valdez? I need to know these numbers.
I mean, the thing is, they look so bad. Do we think that they're really going to just break out?
Well,
it's
against
hard to
Iceland,
imagine.
I'll say this. Against Iceland, the first game, like Messi had 11 shots in that game. They just weren't cashing in for whatever reason. Like Iceland kind of went with like the counterpunch theory, kind of packed it in, and Argentina had the ball the whole time shooting. Is just
there's something to be said that people forget that Argentina was qualified on the very last day of qualification for the World Cup. They've been pooped for like 2 years, but they're a blue chip team that with a big name and a star, so everyone thinks that they're some stud team.
That was going to be my question. Did they struggle in qualifying?
Yeah.
Were they poop
I think they were out. They had a bunch of things had to happen on the last day for them to even make the World Cup. And
did
happened.
Messi play all the games? Because I remember a few years ago he said he was retiring from international play.
Well, that was after the disappointing, right. Another disappointing World
Cup. I know
he
was there towards the end when they were definitely struggling.
Cakes, your Nigeria payout to win is plus 488. So if you put $25 on it, it'll give you back 122.
Oh, that's tasty. You know I might not be able to stay away.
You know what it reminds me of? And I'm no soccer buff, soccer, you know, history buff by any stretch. But it reminds me of, remember when Ronaldo was really, really hyped up for Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever cash in on that? I remember him having, I feel like he had like some dud World Cups. Now, he was around
they
for a
won
while.
World Cup.
Right.
I feel like they won a World Cup with Ronaldo.
When he was there.
You feel like or you know?
I definitely don't know.
No, you're probably right. But I also feel like there were World Cups where Ronaldo was the big silly that they talked about, and it was like disappointing.
Well,
I'm pretty sure that's the 2006 World Cup, his last World Cup. Italy ended up winning it, and I think they went out in the semifinals.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't do a whole lot, right?
Right, he was kind of old at that point.
Kind of old and slow, whatever. What is he doing now? I mean, is he the big silly? Did he make $100 million? He probably did.
I'm sure he did.
All those Brazilian sillies.
I'm pretty sure he likes flops, too.
Oh, does
I think he?
He
likes flops a lot. Not now, not as much as me, but he likes flops.
He also likes steak and cheeses.
Yeah. Oh, he does. Yeah.
Ronaldo? No, I'm talking about the old Ronaldo.
Yeah,
I know. Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, I know, the old one. Big fatty. He's huge.
He right. looked like he was going to be a big boy. NBA awards were last night. They handed out the MVP to James Harden. LeBron finished his second. Rookie of the Year went to Ben Simmons over Donovan Mitchell, who'd been trolling him, saying that basically he wasn't a real rookie. He finished second. Victor Oladipo, most improved player of the year. Coach of the Year went to Dwayne Casey, who got fired by the Raptors. There was, I guess, kind of a funny incident where Bill Russell flipped off Charles Barkley, and people were wondering why. Charles Barkley was presenting an award and was mentioning some of the legends of the game. And he mentioned Bill Russell, and the camera went to Bill Russell, and he flipped him off. And Bill Russell afterwards said that it's just a habit, that anytime Charles Barkley mentions him, he flips him off. And he forgot that he was on live TV.
Oh, my God. Bill Russell is a jerk. I'll just tell you, I had a personal experience with Bill Russell. He was out at Lake Arbor Golf Course. I was probably 17, 18 years
old. Why was he slumming at Lake Arbor?
I don't know if he was hanging out with Red Arbor. I don't know what he was doing. But Bill Russell was in town. I don't know if he was in town frequently. He was playing golf in the group in front of us.
Did he find my lime green ball that I lost on hole number 11?
No, and I'll just never forget. I had some sort of interaction with him, and he basically gave me the finger.
Really?
Like, he is an ornery.
Crotchety old man?
Yeah, he's a crotchety old man. He's not a fun, nice person.
And that was 30 years ago.
That was 30 years ago. I had a run
in with Bill.
I had a run in with Bill Russell where I was probably just like any other kid, starstruck, and going like, "Oh my God, it's Bill Russell!" And he's like, "I'm not sure that he gave. He might have even given me the finger, but I know this for a fact. He was butt rude, disrespectful, and it crushed me. You know how like when you see an idol, and he wasn't even an idol of mine. That was a previous generation,
right?
But when you see an idol or like an icon,
yeah,
and you're like, wow. And then the guy was a douche." Bill Russell is a douche.
Definitely had some long
He would definitely give you the finger if he heard you talking about him right
he's
now.
A, you know what? He's a bad guy. When you treat a kid like that,
yeah.
When you're like a jerk to a kid, like I was just, you know, like idolizing him.
Mm-hmm.
I might have just said, hey, can I have your autograph or can I get your picture or just something. And the guy was a jerk. I'll never forget
it. Why are you slumming it playing at Lake Arbor? You should be a congressional. You're a big silly.
He was at Hoopy Lake Arbor.
All right, remember Troy Brown Jr., the Wizards' first-round draft pick, scheduled to join us right here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? And we're happy to be joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by the Wizards' first-round draft choice, Troy Brown Jr.
Clap him up.
6'7 forward.
Congratulations,
Vegas.
My friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How does it feel, man? What did it feel like draft night? Now, you made the difference. Like, you're a top 15 pick. And I'm waiting to see you walk out there on stage and shake the commissioner's hand, and
right.
You're throwing your own party.
Yeah, you were in a bowling alley in Vegas.
What's going on there?
I mean, honestly, that was just more so of me trying to enjoy, you know, being with my family, just trying to make it something that, you know, that was enjoyable for everybody. I know I had a lot of people in Vegas that if I would have went to the draft, they wouldn't have been able to make it or, like, celebrate with me. And so, like, my little, like, basically my godbrother wouldn't have been able to go and stuff like that. And so it was just better for me to just throw it in Vegas and, you know, just enjoy my time in my city and, you know, so yeah.
Troy, no, we couldn't help
by the way, it's obviously a very mature decision.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just teasing him.
We couldn't help but notice you were wearing a Vegas Golden Knights jersey and they had a very good season, made it to the Stanley Cup Final. But unfortunately for you, they got beaten by your new building mates, the Washington Capitals. We just want to let you know that there's plenty of room for you to hop on the Caps bandwagon, even if they're not.
Team's only been there for 20 minutes.
Yeah, even if they're not your favorite team, they can be your favorite Eastern Conference team in the NHL. You're welcome to jump on, Troy.
Hey, I have no problem being a Capitals fan. I just know at the end of the day, I'm still going to rep my city. That's all I have to say. By wearing that jersey, I didn't mean no disrespect to nobody or anything like that. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to rep Vegas, especially because we've never had a pro team before. So this is the biggest thing we got right now until we get the Raiders.
So just a follow-up, did you go to any games?
I actually didn't get to make it to any. I tried to get some tickets to the Stanley Cup, but, you know, those were selling out like crazy.
So can you talk about what this draft process was like for you? When did you know you were going to submit your name? So you have your freshman year at Oregon. Honorable mention, I think, all conference there. Did you know all along you were going to test the waters? It's a great route for guys because, you know, as long as you don't sign with an agent, you can come back. Were you surprised by what they said, or were you confident that you were going to be a one and done-er? What was that process like for you?
Well, going through the process, you know, like just going based off of my year, you know, I felt like I had an okay year, and the feedback I was getting was okay, like it was pretty good, like definitely like first round and stuff like that. But you know, for me, I wanted to be like lottery or like, you know, that's every kid's dream is to be a lottery pick and stuff like that. So I know I had a lot to prove coming in there, but it was more so just me knowing I was ready to go and ready to take the next step, you know? So yeah.
Let me take a step back because, like, for the three of us here on the show, the college years are some of the best years of your life. Did you enjoy college, dealing with the classes, hanging out? Obviously, you're playing basketball, and that was going to be your future career. But did you enjoy just being in college?
I mean, college overall was okay. You know, I enjoyed, like, you know, the off-the-court experience and stuff like that. It was just kind of hard to manage, like, you know, like at this point it seems a lot easier because, you know, like basketball is your job and it's your one focus when you have a lot more free time. College, everything was kind of stacked on top of each other and it was hard to manage, you know, from 6 a.m. to about like 8 p.m. every day. And so it was just kind of crazy, you know. So but overall, I did have a good experience. So
do you know, like, you're still 18, yeah, right?
Yes.
You're almost 19. You're going to be moving to D.C. Do you know, like, what you're going to do in terms of living? Because that's going to be an adjustment where, you know, just 2 years ago, you're living with your family, and now are you going to be living on your own? Do you know what you're going to do?
So pretty much I'm probably going to have, like, a little apartment. I'm going to live with my best friend who I've known for about, like, 8 or 9 years now. And then we'll live together. And then so I'll probably get an apartment, like, as close to the facility as possible. And then, yeah, just focusing on getting in the gym and trying to get better. So.
And what does your best friend do?
Well, actually, right now he goes to UNLV, but he just got accepted to GCU online for online school. So when he comes down here, he can get his degree. He's majoring in business right now. And so, yeah.
Got you.
Nice. He doesn't everybody get accepted to an online school?
Yeah.
I'm kind of joking a little
bit. Come on, Cakes.
make a good point,
I mean,
Cakes.
Troy, I want to ask you about your thoughts on the Wizards. What was your interaction with them before the draft? And then what sort of been your impression of this team, and what are you going to provide for them?
Well, honestly, I mean, like, coming into the workouts and stuff like that, you know, I got a really good feel for them, a lot of energy in the gym. You know, it's a program that they definitely are trying to develop players and get players better, you know. So I enjoy that a lot. And you can tell, like, when teams try to focus on players individually and make them better. So for me, that was a big thing. Just coming into the workout, I felt like I was in, like, a practice rather than a workout because they were trying to get me better, you know. And it's just kind of crazy to say that. And then talking with the staff and stuff like that, we had a great conversation and everything went really smooth. And it was just, it was a really good connection. And then lastly, like just talking about like the players from last year and stuff like that, just they have a very good core right now, I feel like, you know. Just some things I can add is just a little bit more playmaking, you know, more of a two-way player on both ends for multiple positions and being able to rebound the basketball and force more fast break situations to let our guards run the wing. So,
joined by Troy Brown Jr., Wizards first-round draft pick, number 15 overall in the most recent NBA draft. You have to be excited over the fact that the NBA Summer League kicks off July 6th in your hometown in Vegas. That's quite a whirlwind. You had to fly out here, meet the team, meet your new teammates. You're going to be going back to Vegas before you know it.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be crazy, you know, but it's something I'm looking forward to, something I'm definitely going to go into with a chip on my shoulder just to prove a lot of people what I can do and just kind of show my talent. So, yeah.
Troy, what is it like? So you're a McDonald's All-American. You play at Oregon. I know that in the summer and that sort of thing, you have got a lot, I'm sure you have a lot of friends that are in the league. You've played against them. Is there still, though, a little bit of a like an awe factor where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm playing against so and so? Or do you just feel comfortable, or do you still kind of like still feeling it out and seeing where you fit in? You know what I mean?
Honestly, for me, I'm very comfortable now, you know. I felt like when I was younger, I used to kind of like overthink things on the basketball court and stuff like that. But that was more so of me just kind of coming out and having that confidence in myself to be the best player I am and do what I can to the best of my abilities. You know, I feel like I'm at that age now where it's just basketball, you know. Like before, I used to be like, oh, he's bigger, stronger, faster. I feel like I'm at the age now where like my body's starting to fill out a little bit more. I'm getting taller, stuff like that. So like I'm feeling strong. So it's just basketball at this point.
But I think what Eric's getting at is you're still 18. Like, we're 47-year-old guys, whatever. You know, we're ancient compared to you. But when I was 18, I could have never thought I'd be playing in the NBA. Obviously, skill level, whatever. To think that you're in the NBA where about a year ago, you probably went to prom, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild. You were just in high school, and now you're going to be playing professionally against LeBron James. You're going to be playing against James Harden, who just won the MVP. You're going to be playing against Dirk Nowitzki, who's almost 40. And you're going to be in the locker room with all these older guys, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, honestly, like, There's just, like, not a situation that's too big, like, right now for me. Like, that's just how I feel, you know. Like, just coming in, of course, I want to do everything I can to contribute, and I understand that. You know, like, I'm not going to be John Wall or Bradley Beal as All-Stars, but I definitely feel like I can contribute and make plays for my teammates. So,
people were saying, you know, coming into the draft that, well, he's not a great three-point shooter. But I watched some of your highlights, and I think the stroke is there. It's just a matter of repping it out. Do you believe that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure. That's how I felt about it. I mean, honestly, a lot of people are just still going based off of like my college season and stuff like that, which is fine because I haven't proved anything to anyone. But I mean, definitely like during these workouts and stuff like that, I felt like that's one thing that a lot of teams saw that improved over the time of me working out was definitely my jump shot. So
right. The other thing that jumped out at me was like your defensive anticipation, jumping the lane for steals, fast breaks, transition buckets, that sort of thing. Is that something that you pride yourself on?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I feel like coming into this team, I feel like that's one thing that I'll definitely take pride in is just, you know, defense, because I know like you guys have guys like John Wall and Bradley Beal and guys that can score the basketball, but I feel like being able to be like kind of that defensive spark for me would help me a lot and to contribute to this team. So
Have those guys reached out to you? So when you're picked, what's it like? Like, do you get a text from John Wall congratulating you, or do you wait until you see him at some point? How does that work?
Bradley Beal texted me today after the draft, but, you know, I haven't heard anything from anybody else. You know, those guys are probably out like doing their thing, you know. So I'll see them when the season starts and stuff.
But Brad reached out to you. Had you met any of the guys before? Did you know anybody on the Wizards?
Me and Kelly Me and Kelly went to, or he played in Vegas when he went to Finley Prep. So, like, I kind of have a relationship with him, but I don't. It's not, like, very cordial, you know? So.
Right. Gotcha.
Troy, how many times have you been asked if your dad played for the Patriots back in the day? You're Troy Brown Jr. Troy Brown played for the Pats. Pretty big name in the NFL.
I got it a lot when I was younger. But now people know, like, it's not, that's not Troy. Like, that's not my dad. So.
Right, but your dad was an athlete, right? Both your parents were athletes at, what, Texas A&M?
Texas A&I in Kingsville.
A&I. So gotcha. Your dad played hoops and your mom ran track. Is that right?
My mom did volleyball.
Volleyball. Wow.
Yep. So, you know, coming from that family of athletes.
Yeah, kind of must be. What's that like to have genes like that? It's so silly.
We're jealous. Can you tell how jealous we are on the other end?
Do you have brothers or sisters? Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two older sisters.
And were they athletes too?
So my oldest sister, she ran track, won a national championship at 13.
Jesus.
And then at that point, it kind of started to kind of like pressure to her, you know, because,
right,
you know, you always want to outdo yourself and you always want to surpass like every goal that you've already achieved. And so for her, it was really hard just to kind of get past that, like not being able to win another national championship. And so she went to UNR for a year, did track, and then she came back home, and now she graduated from UNLV and has a job.
Nice.
My second sister went to Kansas all 4 years, played basketball there. So, yeah.
Wow.
Joined by Troy Brown Jr. You can follow him on Twitter at Troy_Brown33. I was just perusing your Twitter. And I want to hear you make this case because we've had this argument. It's an argument in basketball, happens all the time. But you believe LeBron James is the GOAT. Now, you didn't grow up watching Michael Jordan, so how do you make that fair comparison?
I mean, honestly, it's more so just like the argument for my generation, you know, like just saying like how, like, because like you said, like growing up, like I got glimpses of Jordan, but like I never got to like watch him on the stage that you guys got to watch him at. And so at that time, like it was the most amazing thing for you guys. And at this time, for me, it's the most amazing thing for me. Like, you know, for our generation, to have somebody that we can call the best in the world with no questions asked, and who's revolutionizing the game and stuff like that. So that's why I definitely give him props.
And last thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, you talked about kind of the process with the Wizards and they selected you. Talk about kind of your dealings with Ernie Grunfeld, because I know when you were here, you spent a lot of time talking with Ernie.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, I talked to everybody. We sat down in the meeting as a group, you know. But, I mean, just talking with Ernie, you know, he's a great guy. And he's somebody that definitely wants to see me get better and improve. And I can tell after my workout, he kind of believes in my talents and he knows what I can bring to the table at a lot of different positions. And so I just felt like he believes in me and I'm just ready to go out and show that the pick was worth it, you know? So at this point, I'm just ready to go to summer league.
Did you know they were going to pick you? Like when the pick came up, when did you know? Did they call you right before?
I had no idea until 5 minutes on the clock. Once they put the time on the clock, then they called me. But before that, I had no idea.
What was the first pick that you thought you might be selected? Like you didn't think you were going to be a top five pick. You thought you could go like number 10. I don't know. When did you think, when did you start getting nervous, like, this could be it?
11. Because I worked out with the Hornets, my last workout of the draft process, and that went really well. And, you know, they were, like, really impressed with me. And so just going
through
that.
That's got to be a gut punch, though. You work out great, everyone went well, and you went, damn, I thought that went well.
I can't remember, who did they pick at 11?
The Hornets took,
I bet you Troy knows.
They got Miles. They traded for Miles, but I'm trying to think who they took.
Oh, they drafted the point guard out of Kentucky, and I think they shipped him to L.A.
Yep,
in a deal.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Yep.
So that was the first one. I mean, honestly, like, just going through the process, you know, like, starting off, I wasn't expecting to even be considered a lottery pick, you know. So just making sure that, like, my stock rose and, you know, like, just making those improvements for me to even be considered at 11, I was kind of happy, but, you know, so.
Right. What were your people telling you, or like the NBA scouts? What were they saying your range was?
11 through like 20, and then like 24 to Portland was like the latest.
Right. Right. Well, it worked out great for you, dude. I mean, not only the fact that we got you here in D.C., but to get you at 15, it works out. And we need that skill set, versatile player like you. Listen, it's a real pleasure having you on the show. And I know eventually you're going to get going, you're going to get busy, but let's do it again sometime for sure.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep. All right, Troy. Congrats, buddy.
All right, y'all have a nice day.
All right, you too, man. What a good
officially
kid.
Officially in the tank, 100%.
What a good kid.
Just dove in the tank for Troy Brown
what do you think?
Jr.
The Drabby?
Sized.
Good
right?
dude.
All about it now.
Right? Just get to know the kid. Apparently, that's one of the big things that turned the Wizards was their interview.
What it seemed like.
The kid that slept, that everybody wanted, the big kid, I already forgot his name.
Oh, wow.
Robert Williams.
That blew off the more. They're going to introduce him.
Overslept.
And he blows it off and oversleeps.
That's dog move.
Now, that was a conference call introduction that he overslept.
Yeah, but still.
Still. That's an obligation.
That's a Fred Davis-esque move.
Yeah, to do that a day after you're drafted, you're blowing off your new team.
Follow him on Twitter. It's at Troy_Brown33. The thing that, I don't know that I phrased it very well, but it is mind-boggling to me that an 18-year-old, like my daughter's going to college next year. She'll turn 18 in September.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the same age, a year older. He was going to prom a year ago. He's making millions of dollars.
Now he's an NBA millionaire in a new city, you know, 2,500 miles from home.
Playing with men.
Living on his
like
own.
We've talked to, I can't remember the guy that we came, that was in studio with us from NBC Sports, the hockey player, who came in studio and he talked about being the first number one draft choice in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, He's 17, 18 years old and goes into the locker room for the first time. There's guys' families.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird experience.
Right.
But if he can ball.
Right. It's more common, though, in the NBA
than
it is in NHL. And, you know, he's got guys in the league he knows. I mean, he already knows Kelly a little bit. There's a little familiarity there. So
he may be taking his spot on the roster when Kelly's a free agent.
Do you think it's interesting that John didn't text him? Because John wanted that athletic big. Don't read into that. Because I can get crazy and read into that.
Nah.
Beal texted him, but John didn't.
Nah.
John went on the record and said, I want an athletic big.
You got to do some work to find a guy's number.
It's not that hard.
I'm sure John can figure
it out. Who was the guy? Yeah. We had Rozier called Ainge during the draft. FaceTimed him during the pick.
Yeah.
Might have botched the pick. That guy's already blowing off team events.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. That was Troy Brown Jr., the Wizards' first-round draft choice.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Thanks again to Troy Brown Jr., newest Wizards first-round draft pick, for joining us. Best of luck to him in Summer League out in Vegas, which starts in just a few weeks. July 6th, I believe, is when that tips off. Talked earlier about how we always bring up death dongs and divas on this show.
Staple.
Those are the staples. Those are the cornerstones. And here's just another way that I know that none of us will ever perish. Here's the headline. I believe NBC Sports Washington has the video. Man rides on hood of car going 70 miles per hour on Florida interstate.
Now, what's the setup? Why was he on the hood of the car?
There's no setup. There's just a woman who's, I guess, has...
Like, was he chasing somebody and jumped on the hood of the car?
It looks like a thrill-seeking bit to me. I don't think there's any real backstory to it other than this person who filmed the video is driving down I-95, and the car in the lanes to the left, I think they're the HOV lanes or the Easy Pass lanes, there's a guy just laying on the hood of the car, holding on to near where the windshield is, holding on for dear life as the car is barreling down I-95.
At 70, at how long could
70
you do that?
Miles per hour.
If there's a turn of 5 degrees, you fly off.
You would think. Unless you're like,
I guess you could hold on if it's a straightaway.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're like a Hollywood stuntman, like, you're going to tumble off the hood of that car, I would think. It's going 70. It's not going 20. It's barreling down the highway at 70 miles per hour. Person has to be high. They have to be high. High and or drunk.
Yeah,
incredibly stupid.
I need to know the setup. Is this just a challenge, or is there a reason he's on the hood of the car?
I don't know.
It looks like from the... His girlfriend is pissed off at him.
Right.
And he jumped on the car. That's what I think happened.
Yes. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. See, that's what I was figuring.
Because that's
There's
what the guy
be
says
a
in
backstory.
He says, I think that guy's girlfriend's pissed off because he's like screaming at the driver while they're driving.
Like. Oh, that's
screaming, stop the car.
I don't know why you would.
Two donks.
Why? Yeah. Why would you? Why would you ever climb on the hood of a car that's even close to moving? Let alone going 70 miles per hour.
I mean, it's messed up, but he was trying to kill her, trying to do something.
Was it a
guy? No, he was on the donk. The guy was on the hood.
The guy is
right
on the hood, and the woman is driving. Apparently.
I understand that. The guy's trying to get at the woman, is my guess, my speculation.
Well,
based
he's
on
Rick,
the picture I saw.
He's in a domestic dispute where they're probably yelling
that's
at
what
each
I'm
other.
Saying.
No, and she drove off, and he jumped on the car like an idiot
to slow her down.
That's exactly
he probably
what I'm saying.
Did it to stop her. Yeah. Right. Not necessarily to beat her up.
I know.
Stop
I'm taking
her.
It to the next level there.
And then she's a maniac. For
my point is, it was a domestic dispute. I was agreeing with you.
Well, my greater point is, that's just another way you're never going to see me perishing or EP perishing. Is riding
did he
up, the
up? Did he donk off?
No, I believe he's fine.
He survived? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're not going to see me jumping on
I won't either, Cakes.
Yeah.
I mean,
I will jaywalk, which you refuse to do.
I mean, I don't. I've done it before, but I'm very hesitant to do it. I just don't want. I don't want to be the guy that's getting joned on for getting run over outside of the crosswalk when there's a perfectly good crosswalk to use. That's why it's there. There's a reason there's a crosswalk there.
Okay, but if no cars are coming at the intersection when we leave here,
look,
I will go diagonally.
If you want to gamble with your life,
it's not a gamble.
Fine.
What's the riskiest thing that you do, Cakes? What's the riskiest thing that
I'll
you
tell
do?
You.
You're
I'll,
very risk averse.
I'll tell you. Chase flush draws at MGM National Harbor. That's about the riskiest thing that I do.
Well, I was I played tennis yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I played tennis with John Beckley, who turns out he runs 180 pot bellies.
That's a lot.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And I was telling him, I have one court in my neighborhood. I never have seen anybody on it. And
yeah.
We go to play at 3:30. And there's a donk out there with, like, a big old bag. And I'm like, well, now what am I going
to
do?
When he went to serve, did free turkey skinny subs coupons fall out of his pocket?
No. So we actually went over to a court. The last time I played on this court, I played with Cakes. I believe it was 1999.
A long time ago.
It's, like, right by that gas station, you know what I mean?
I know where
Fields
it is.
Road.
Yep.
And then he was asking me about the guys and, like, how often we play sports. I was like, well, Cakes kind of quit sports after high school, really. Maybe played a little bit. Like when we would even have a football game, you know, for years in our 20s, we would have like an annual turkey bowl.
Most people do that.
Cakes, but Cakes would like grimace about it and complain about it.
A lot of bitching and moaning. Like,
wasn't a big part of his life.
Yeah.
Here's like, the extent of my...
He played tennis in high school, and then, you know, I bet you has played less than 20 times since then.
Oh, way less than 20.
See, I mean, it's amazing to
here's
me.
Here's the extent of my...
Care.
My
it's not important to him.
In my late 40s. I play hoops in the backyard with my kids.
No, I'm not
and,
talking about... I'm talking about you punted in your 20s.
Yeah, probably like 20s.
Sports that you played all the time.
It wasn't important to him.
Yeah.
It's different for you.
Yeah.
You love it. He doesn't care.
I know. It's just anyway. I'm just saying. It was pretty amazing to me.
I play hoops in the backyard.
Although I did buy a Peloton bike.
I did. That's
impressive.
Right. Pedaling on that thing.
I can't believe you bought that.
Bought that Blicky.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
I just took my endorsement money and spent it on the bike.
Right. I mean, God bless you.
I'm a believer.
You're an unbelievable endorser.
I'm gonna be the mobile Lance Armstrong.
I think it's a great idea, right?
Or the stationary Lance Armstrong.
You commit to it.
Huh?
Anything that you commit to, whether it's running outside, running on a treadmill, Peloton,
bike,
elliptical.
There's a billion ways to do it, right?
Yeah.
Of course, that's not what I'm saying. But I think it's a brilliant idea that because what's more boring than riding an exercise bike? Nothing. Okay? It's the worst. But if you're there and you've got a teacher and you're online, you're doing a live
thing. You're engaged.
They should have that for everything. Do they have
pushing
that?
You.
Does
yes.
Peloton or whatever?
Peloton.
They have that for, whatever it is. They have it for, it's a great company, but do they have it for treadmills?
Peloton doesn't do treadmills, but treadmills have
of.
The same thing.
They do with live
yes,
people.
Can do that.
Yeah,
sure.
They
correct.
Should do that. Yeah, they should.
Or you can do it on demand. Over 8,000 exercises to do on demand. Dude. I know all the bullet points, Ricky.
It's brilliant.
Sure.
It's really good. I went rollerblading yesterday.
You did?
Oh, yeah. That time of year.
Blading.
I'm actually getting a little friskier, too. I'm eschewing. Is that the word? Eschewing? How do you say that word?
Eschewing.
Eschewing. The elbow pads.
You're Nick Ashewing.
Definitely
the elbow pads.
You definitely use a brain bucket.
Of course.
I mean, you can't.
I use a helmet.
You can't.
And
just,
I use knee pads because I don't want to scuff my knees.
The helmet.
And I do. I use wrist guards too because I figure if I'm gonna fall, I've fallen before. I'm gonna use my hands to catch myself.
You fallen before?
Not with the rollerblades per se. Maybe one time. Like here's you want to know how you fall on rollerblades?
I kind of do.
Here's how you fall. You're cruising, right? You're going like 30 miles
Sticks.
An hour. You're going down. A leaf gets stuck in your wheel, and all of a sudden you're doing this.
You're one blading it?
Yeah, because the stick gets stuck, and then the wheels stop.
I'm sure I'd fall all the time.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you go rollerblading when it's leafy, you're going to die. You know what else you're going to fall? Rollerblading, you can be silly. I'm out of breath. Is when you rollerblade after it rains. Let's say it's silly.
Put some baby powder
let's
down.
Say it's been silly for 2 days, but you go under a tunnel and there's a puddle and you hit that puddle and then you try to just turn a little bit. Woo! You're Dunsky.
Hydroplaning.
Dude, I'm telling you.
How many other rollerbladers did you encounter?
You rarely see them. Skiers.
Yeah.
I see you know what
you don't hit on a Peloton? Puddles.
Yeah. hey, Eric, when you pass someone who's rollerblading, do you give them like a wave?
Give them
a nod. Like you're in the crew together?
Yeah.
I generally nod to everyone.
You do if you're driving a Jeep Wrangler.
No,
that's definitely a thing. You don't pass somebody in a Jeep Wrangler,
it's a Corvette.
You're a jerk.
I learned that when I had my vet. Yeah. I would have my vet, and all of a sudden everyone's waving at all their vets. No, but it's also apparently it's a scooter thing too because that's my combo.
This is your wheelhouse.
That's my my move is I scooter to my rollerblading spot.
I couldn't think of a more loser line than I scooter to my rollerblading spot.
I've only rollerbladed once in my life.
I act actually the highlight of my day.
I remember it completely pummeling my ankles.
What, rollerblading?
Is it really tough on the ankles? Maybe I just suck.
Wimpy ankles. But, I mean, I actually, like, straight line, whatever, I'm fine. The thing that I'm not good at is stopping and turning. I'm really not good at that.
Seems to be a key part.
That seems pretty important.
Like, if you see guys that are silly with rollerblades, they know how to, you do like a T. You do does that make any sense? You put one foot like this.
Wouldn't that be an L?
Right.
No, it's like, L or T, but you put it behind it and drag. You drag this one, and that slows you down.
And how do you do it?
The donks do it. They use the little brake on it, and you put your foot up. But that's the donk brake. That's for noobs, donks. If you're silly, you know how to brake like that. I am not silly. Even though I've rollerbladed now for probably 5 years, right toe up.
Yeah, toes up.
It's the only way I know how to do it. I don't know how to do it the other way.
Well, good for you. Look at that. The junkies all exercised yesterday. Cakes played golf.
Yep.
I played tennis.
Golf is golf. Please. Let's back that up a little bit.
Well, you walk the course,
Golf is hardly exercise. I mean, we had a cart. We were driving to every single ball.
Okay, but you did a physical activity.
Wow.
You played golf. I played tennis, and EB rollerbladed.
No, but my point was I scootered to my rollerblading spot, which is what I do.
Right.
And somebody else in a scooter went by me, and he waved at me. And I was too anxious because I had like 18 cars behind me because it's hard to get up to speed.
Man, I've got a lot of jokes that I can't use right here.
I believe I've heard them all. Believe me.
I'm sure you have.
A certain type of boot.
Yeah.
That
might have been one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Like Fruit Loops.
Possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard it all.
Who knows?
All right. Coming up next, we will open up EB's entertainment page, get the latest celebrity gossip, find out what's going on in Hollywood right here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.